Hold on, I have a story.
Go ahead. I also blew Marissa at 17.
It made me sad and happy at the same time.
Like the definition of age discrimination, this podcast is subject to change. I'm your host, Keith, and joining me for this verbal potluck in which everyone brings a different subject to the table are two of my best friends in Weber. How you doing, Steve and Marissa?
Hey.
Sup, dog?
Hey, Weber.
Hi. I thought the travel route was over.
You know, you're the only one I haven't called a best friend on this podcast.
Ever.
Up
oh my gosh.
And including Danielle, who was so proud to finally be called a best friend.
I remember that.
It's true. I remember. Oh, Marissa, you have a topic.
It's a crappy one.
All right, let's
Perfect.
Do it.
Perfect.
It's not a crappy one. I didn't have a topic, and I was listening to the podcast on my way home. I mean, a podcast.
I was going to say, which podcast?
Yeah. And I was like, podcasts are so fun. What do we all listen to? What do we like to listen to in podcasts? Because I
so
was
your podcast subject is podcasts.
Yeah, I feel like
so meta.
Oh,
this is a good subject.
So I was recommending a podcast to a friend today, and I was self-judging myself because my podcast list started with all, you know, there was like one television one in there, and then it was all like the NPR ones and Planet Money and Invisibilia and all of these kind of, you know, highbrow story ones and news things. And you know what? They're all gone now because I never listened to them. And my podcast queue is full of television, movies, pop culture, and food. And that's what I listen to.
Yeah. Any specific ones? Like, what are your top three favorite podcasts?
Ooh. Okay.
Besides Game Time, bro.
I really like pop culture. And I don't really like The Ringer. But there are these two girls on The Ringer, Amanda and Juliet, and they do a podcast called Jam Session on the Bill Simmons Podcast Network. And I feel like we're kindred souls. We're around the same age. They talk about celebrities and television and movies, and they got
Taylor
me to
Swift.
Start and Taylor Swift, but they don't like talking about Taylor Swift. They got me to start watching The Crown because one of them loves British royalty. So I'm into it, and I would highly recommend it if you want to hear some funny people.
I do like that one.
Talk about it. So I'll just say one of mine for now. We can come back around. So why don't you go, Steve?
All right. Well, I listen to several podcasts, not as many as I think you, Marissa.
I have
or
a 30-hour queue right now.
Wow.
I don't know what I'm going to do.
Sounds like my Netflix queue. Ugh. A podcast I got into very recently on Sweeney's recommendation was Chapo Trap House.
I don't know what this is.
It's
I saw you Googling it the other day.
They're very political. It's a bunch of guys from left Twitter, so to speak. They have very many political takes, but they're also just really funny guys. And a girl. She's on there too. Weber, I think you might enjoy this.
How do you spell this?
They rag on Hillary a lot. Chapo, like El Chapo. And then Trap House, like where drugs are done.
So it's not boring?
I think it's really funny. Their audio quality is often dog shit. So
oh, I hate that.
It's not.
Oh, shit.
It makes me feel better about our podcast. I'll put it that way.
That's good.
Yeah.
Seriously, I've heard so many that are worse.
Yeah, it's true.
That's good. Because
like talking
people
TV
that like
Ryan
have
and
ads and make money for it.
Yeah,
that's my favorite TV podcast, maybe, and it's yours too, Marissa. You listen to it a lot.
I was trying to decide what my favorite TV cast was.
So talking TV with Ryan and Ryan's a good one. It's Mo Ryan and Ryan McGee,
like Mo from
like Let's Go to Mo. Mo.
No, yeah, yeah, exactly.
And like Mo Vaughn. Yeah.
No, I was asking if that was the Mo.
Oh, I think it's a different Mo. It's a Mo. Mo Ryan. I don't know what Mo from Let's Go to Mo's last name was. She was on Global Guts.
What about Moesha?
No, it's
definitely
not
her.
Moesha.
Mo to the Weber. Do you like podcasts?
I do. I most notably listen to podcasts when I'm running. And since I don't often run in the winter because of asthma issues, my podcast consumption tends to go way down, which hasn't been a problem so far this winter because my main source of podcasts, my weekly podcasts, have been also a little bit slimmer than usual. And once again, I'm talking about Game Time Bro. And subject to change.
Yeah.
Not as many episodes as usual, so I think that being a father is finally catching up to you.
Well, we've got a bit of a queue now.
Well, that's good. And I'm excited to listen to them. That's nice. I can backlog them. Most notably, on this platform, I don't listen to Keith and Kevin Watch Anime.
Steve and Kevin. I'm not a part of that podcast.
Oh,
it's
yes.
So that they don't have to.
Yeah, we don't have to watch it. We have to thank them for their sacrifice. Yeah.
Well, you know, you're right, but I just didn't want to say his name because the travel is now one-sided.
Yeah, we don't say his name. Okay. All right, I buy it.
Steve. He who must not be named. But my original podcast that I've tried to sell to you guys previously, Hardcore History with Dan Carlin.
That's a great one.
I'm going to download that now.
It's really good. I've always just been impressed with the fact that he's a radio guy, and he knows how to weave a yarn. He knows how to speed it up.
And this is a one-man podcast.
And he knows how to slow it down, you know, right at the right moments.
He's definitely reading off like a fully prepared script he's got.
It may be a one-man podcast. There is a producer who he speaks to often who maybe and definitely probably does not exist.
Wait, how long are these shows?
They're so long.
This is a 6-hour episode.
They started off pretty short, half an hour, and he has taken it to a new level. They're all very well researched. They come out once every 4 months, so it's good
enormous.
When you see them.
This is like Sherlock.
Yeah.
It's very much like Sherlock.
It's better than Sherlock.
I don't like history.
Well, maybe you'd learn to.
Do you like good stories? Because this is less about history, more about good stories.
I removed all the story ones.
Like, I was listening to one about whether or not it was right to drop the atomic bomb, which,
loaded cut
question.
To the chase.
Oh, logical insanity.
Yeah, I didn't even get there because the first hour of it was just about how people, when air warfare came out, thought that that was immoral. And I was like, this is fascinating, but I'm going to press pause now. And I never got back to it. But
if you didn't love that one, the most recent one, which came out 2 days ago, after 6 months
of
waiting, which is very long.
Because I did subscribe because you told me to.
The newest one is all about nuclear warfare.
Wow.
It's called Blitz, the Destroyer of Worlds.
Oh.
So he's talking about man's capability to destroy all life on Earth and what that means for social aspects, what that means for science. It's pretty interesting so far. I was actually listening on the way over here. I'm about half an hour in now.
So on a slightly unrelated note, Steve brought me to this website last night where you type in an address
that website.
And what kind of nuclear bomb you're
map.
Using. And it tells you if you would
die.
Yeah,
you drop a pin on a map and you pick
burned,
the detonation load
or,
and it'll tell you like how fucked you are.
That's fucked.
It was real fucked up.
The nuke map.
But you guys should
terrifying.
Work farther away from where you live so you can listen to like 3 hours a day like I do.
I used to do that and that was the worst year and a half of my life.
I listen to far more than 3 hours a day
I
of
can't,
podcasts.
I can't concentrate on work and listen to things at the same time.
I am blessed with that ability.
Nice.
I have currently, I'm subscribed to 36 podcasts and I recently cut like 7.
Yeah.
And I listen to all of them.
Wow.
Every episode. I have a few favorites and I have a few that I don't know why I listen to.
Fun.
My two favorites, very different. Lore is probably like the most pleasing podcast I listen to. Just the way he sounds, the way the music of it, the way it's like a 30-minute episode just talking about like one really well-researched, very specific story.
Okay.
In, you know, from like the 1700s or something. Typically, some dude would like kill women or some shit and then like sew them up in his furniture or something that. And then they're just really well made. He's a Aaron Mankey writes like horror novels, and it's just really fun to listen to. I can't recommend it enough. I think literally if you have any interest whatsoever in like horror or anything, or even just history, Lore is a really good podcast to listen to.
Nice.
And it's very low commitment. It only comes out once every 2 weeks.
I like that.
And Amazon is actually making a pilot of the show.
Damn.
Yeah.
An anthology show where they explore a different thing every week?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know a lot about it. My all-time favorite podcast, one I've been listening to since its inception in March of 2010, is Tell 'Em Steve Dave. It's actually like Kevin Smith's loser friends from New Jersey. They just made a podcast on like the back of Kevin Smith's popularity. Kevin Smith was one of like kind of the first people to really get into podcasting.
Yeah, he was an early adopter.
He used to be like the top podcast in comedy every week because he was like the only well-known person doing it.
Yeah. Ricky Gervais had one a while.
And then so much so that his friends that no one knew of except from like a 30-second role in Mallrats have developed a very popular podcast as well.
Nice.
It's like 340-somethings who just bitch about the way like society is passing them by. And, you know, it's not for everyone, but I find it fucking hilarious. And it's absolutely the podcast that I aspire. Like, I want our podcast to be more like it because it's just like somehow they don't talk about anything. They get derailed all the time, but it's always interesting. It's always entertaining. So I can't recommend that one highly enough, but most people will probably hate it. Most overrated podcast of all time, Revisionist History. It's total fucking dog shit.
Wow.
Malcolm Gladwell calls it Revisionist History, but what it should be called is My Political Views and Why Yours Are Wrong.
I've read a few of his books, and they're just non-science.
Freakonomics?
No, said? That's not him. Malcolm Gladwell was like Blink and The Tipping Point.
Oh, Blink, okay.
And yeah, he's just got these poorly, like unresearched, really, ideas about just things he thinks make for cool narratives. Like in The Tipping Point, it's like, oh, hush puppy shoes were nothing. And then one day they exploded in popularity overnight. And this is just a story about a trend in the 90s, but I'm going to read into how society is based on this.
Yeah, and he very much thinks that he's right about everything.
Mm.
And I find him insufferable, but I still listen to all of his... He has 10 episodes. I listen to them all. I don't know why.
Interesting.
Because I disagreed with almost everything he said, but I still listened.
You hate listened, kind of.
I hate listened. I think two more podcasts worth mentioning because they fell off a fucking cliff for me.
Uh-huh.
Serial, I loved the first season. Okay. Second season was just blah. But the one I really want to mention, and Marissa, you mentioned it previously, Invisibilia used to be an incredible podcast. Season two was fucking terrible.
All right.
They completely lost track of what they were trying to do. Like, the Invisibilia name no longer makes sense because they were trying to like get at like little things that people don't think about that kind of make the world work the way they do, or like things like...
It's called Invisibilia?
Yeah.
So this is not 99% Invisible?
No, which is also overrated, but short enough to not care about whether or not it's overrated.
Interesting.
An example of a podcast that they had in season one was like, here's how this blind person taught themselves essentially echolocation. And like,
that sounds cool.
It was very cool.
Is it made up though?
No, I don't think so. I researched it more and it seems legit. Like somehow they've...
Oh, I have seen this. Yeah. I assume it's the same guy. It might be a different one.
Probably is the same guy. Season two, they brought in another person who was like a little bit younger and a little less interested in actually doing the research. And then they were doing episodes about themselves. And I'm just like, you missed the point. Yep. Like as soon as you bring yourselves into it, like I don't care. Because if you're not funny and you're podcasting about yourself, I'm no longer gonna listen, except our podcast, of course.
Oh yeah,
I talked a lot.
Marissa,
I have more.
Yeah, you have one where there's two like jokers who just joke about history.
My favorite. I was going to mention it because I think specifically Weber will love it because it's called The Dollop.
The Dollop.
And
like a dollop of Daisy.
Yep.
Yep. And so one guy, they're stand-up comics, I think, kind of improv guys. And one guy.
And you can tell.
Sure. You said that in a very negative way.
But keep going. One guy
does a bunch of research on an absurd historical thing that happened. And he tells...
They covered the 1904
That is where Steve got a lot of his info for the 1904 marathon.
I told Keith about it, and then you showed me this podcast, and I was like, holy shit, because the Olympics were topical, like they covered it the same day. We recorded... I'm just saying, I didn't steal it from them. If anything,
they stole it from me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was very excited to
I'll file that under unlikely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's real funny, and the other guy listens and reacts to it in a funny way. So it's both absurdly historical and funny. They did an episode about this guy that lived...
I think you should have said a hysterical there.
Absurdly historical. This woman, was married, and she had a sex slave, for lack of a better word, that lived in her attic. And so, like, while her husband lived in the same house, and then they were going to move across the country. And she was like, oh, you have to make sure the house we're buying has an attic. And she brought her, like, random secret lover across the house with him, and like neighbors were getting creeped out by it because they were like, who is this person that's here all the time? And she was like, always like, oh yeah, it's our repairman. And so it's very funny. They're
pretty long. They are long,
but they're funny.
I like, and the part of the reason they're so long is because you can tell they're both stand-up comics and improv guys, because one of them will start doing a funny voice and they're just so used to yes and that they'll derail each other and keep going with whatever bit they're doing. It is funny. I like it a lot. Like the one that comes to mind for me, Marissa, was they were just talking about how there was this plight of parentless children, so orphans in New York, probably all over the country in the 19th century. And they just kept talking about the horrible things that happened to orphans, but they just kept doing this orphan voice shtick that it worked well. You give me a blank look. Like,
I don't remember it. I'm having a hard time. I know we were
laughing your ass off in the kitchen over this. And now you're hanging me out to dry on this one.
You guys should listen. You'd like it. Let's see. I see Steve has this one written down, so I'll let him talk about it. But my last one, I guess I'll talk about, is because my various interests, I love to travel. And so I listen to like Condé Nast's travel log. And they just talk about like a lot of fun things, like where I should travel to, or what's going on with Zika, or what's the fun new flight thing.
Yeah, don't fuck with Zika.
And I don't know. I just enjoy learning about what's going on.
What's going on?
That's all I got.
Talk about pop culture happy hour.
I love pop culture
happy
hour.
I wrote it down to remind you to talk about it.
They talk about two topics, whether it's movies, television, books, and then they have a third segment that's what's making them happy this week. And it's just a lot of fun. I was just listening to one this morning about the new Netflix show, sitcom, and yeah, pop culture happy hour.
One more I've got to bring up, and sorry, Keith, I made you listen to this one recently, is Doughboys.
Yes, you did.
This one hit close to my heart because it's just two guys getting together, getting shitty chain restaurant food, reviewing that food with a special third guest. And over the summer, they had a tournament of champions, March Munchness, I think it was called, to find the best fast food burger. And it just felt so much like something we would do and should do. And like, maybe we should do our own version of that with pizza.
Yeah, you brought that up. I think that's a great idea. I think we need to get that started. It's almost March.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have our own tournament of champions. The best part about that podcast, and you brought this up to me, was just how earnest they were in their discussions about like what proper rules are, like what should be considered when you're eating like In-N-Out versus Carl's Jr. They had a commissioner who had to make a ruling, And then they just changed the rules all of a sudden.
It
was awesome. I would love to do that. Marissa, any final thoughts on podcasts?
No, I appreciate, you know, all of your suggestions, but first and foremost, keep listening to Game Time, bro.
Yeah, Game Time Show, bro.
As long
subject
as we're still
change.
Making them.
We are. We have a queue. Yeah.
We're actually doing it right now.
Oh, right.
Weber, what subject did you bring to the table?
My subject is kind of a topical one, I think, for
we'll be the judge of that.
For all of us in the room. I wanted to talk about getting old, but more specifically, like becoming an adult and what that means.
Oh, adulting.
Are we talking, when I think about becoming adult, I less and less think about like an age, but more of like, maybe a certain like stepping stone or things that happen in your life when suddenly you're like, holy crap, like I'm the adult in the room. Mm.
I know the moment that I became an adult.
All right, go ahead.
When I refinanced my house.
No way.
That
you
is
were
when I
an
became
adult
an adult.
Before
no,
then. You that, had bought a house.
No, when I refinanced, this was after I became a father.
Any
I was
kid
like,
can buy a house.
I was like, shit, I am an adult now. I made a financial decision to refinance. I didn't even know.
One,
I didn't.
I'm
I don't
sure.
even know that I knew what refinancing was. In,
no
like
points,
5 years
no
ago, you know?
Are we yeah. talking about a lower rate, moving from a fixed rate to a variable rate, or vice
why
versa?
Would you ever move to a variable
lower
rate,
fixed
Weber?
Rate from 30 years to 15 years? Very adult.
Mm.
Very.
Workmanlike, reducing that time frame.
Yeah, that's it. That's when I became an adult. Now I'm an adult.
So when did you become an adult?
I feel like when I decided that I would much rather hang out on my couch at home.
That's a big
on
one.
A Friday.
But sometimes that
and
was college
a Saturday
for us.
Night.
Yeah, I was gonna say we were 18.
No, I've been 30 since I was like 20. So
yeah,
it's true.
So I just
we grew up too fast.
I love it. I love hanging out. And doing nothing, not in a bar in Boston.
I think there's 2 points for me.
Hold on, I have a story.
Go ahead.
This happened so, I'm like so bad at going out that I went to a bachelorette party and I brought some clothes for it and I put on a skirt and they all said, Marissa, you look like you're going to a business interview and not out to a bar.
They slutted her up nice and
good. It made me sad and happy at the same time.
How did you get slutted up?
They like hiked it up like 6 inches.
6 inches?
It was a nice above the knee skirt.
Who are you right? trying to impress?
I apparently yourself. Not the people interviewing me.
Yeah, but like you're a married woman. Or were you trying to attract a man?
No, but I was
or
made
were you a
to
wing
feel
woman?
That I didn't look right.
Well, I think maybe it's them being a little self-conscious about how slutty they looked.
Get sluttier.
Did you just get reverse slut-shamed?
Probably. I'm very impressionable.
I wasn't shaming you.
Rude shame.
I'm very
I was shaming them for... It's kind of like when you're the person who's not drinking and then all the drunk people get self-conscious about being drunk and be like, you should drink too.
Now you're describing when you were 18, Keith.
No. When I was 18... I was too busy being annoyed by everyone in high school.
19, I guess.
Yeah, you're right.
Sorry, your
no,
moment.
That's cool. There's kind of 2 moments, and one of them hasn't quite happened yet. And
your balls will drop soon.
Yeah,
Steve.
Please, God, come on. I think the second one, the one that hasn't really come yet for me, maybe the major one, is when you...
Find the love of your life?
Yes.
It's hard.
It is hard. There's
I know.
A lot of fish in the sea. Mm-hmm.
Love the one you're with.
It's when you really own the fact that like you're going to die.
Ooh, yeah.
Like
yeah.
when you... No, I'm serious.
This got so dark. I love it.
I don't mean... like. I think everyone, even children to an extent, understand they will die. But like... to financially plan for your death.
Oh, like a
to
will?
To set up life insurance.
My mom told us to get life insurance
I was like,
this year,
shit.
And we told her no.
Like, yeah, my mother-in-law wants me to get life insurance. What is she planning with her daughter?
Yeah, the minute Marissa's like, you have to get life insurance.
Oh, that's when you don't.
Stop sleeping in the different beds.
When she starts hiking up her skirt and then tells you to get life insurance, you know.
But yeah, I think notarizing a will, that's another big one. Like, gee, who will get all my shit when I die? I don't have kids.
Can I have stuff? Where
would it go? Yeah, like right now.
Would you like our mortgage?
Ooh.
I don't think that's 15 years?
No, it's 30.
Oh,
fixed,
is it?
Though. It's
is,
fixed.
I don't know what our mortgage is.
It's 30, I assume.
It's 30, but I don't know any of the details because I'm not an adult. I don't plan these things.
And the other moment for me when I really felt like I was an adult came at the workplace. And that's when, you know, you show up after college, you're the new guy at work.
Yep.
And you're the young guys at work. You're the young guy at work, I should say, or girl. You associate with a group of people and they're all older than you. And no matter what, like, you're the young guy, you're the new guy. And then one day you realize, and it's not like the first time someone newer than you shows up. It's not the second time. It's when you're going to lunch and there's a conversation around you that you want no part of about how drunk people were on Thursday night, hanging out together, taking Ubers across the city and puking out the side of them and whatever. And you're just like, you know what I did on Friday night was like, I watched Netflix and drank two beers
chilled.
And fell asleep on the couch. Yes, I Netflix and chilled. With
that
my
means
wife
something
in
different.
But you
no, we fucked.
That means something.
This got really awkward.
I can't follow this. He doesn't love Marissa. He does. They're Netflix and chill.
I was only half paying attention.
I feel like
so
you're
Marissa
not
and Steve
an adult
made eye contact.
If you know the real meaning of Netflix and chill.
That's not true.
Aside,
people started using acronyms and slang that I didn't know.
No, I'm not done talking about your love life, Marissa.
No,
let's
we're
go.
Done. I'm glad.
No,
right
remember
over that.
My subject.
Let's talk about that New Year's.
No, we are not talking about New Year's Eve.
Like
I'm
the subject of conversation
Eve.
Was just
guys,
about
what
fellatio.
Your
involving
family
Marissa
listens to this. I
no, they don't.
I bet they do. I'm
they do
sorry.
They know you've blown Steve
I'm
in the past.
I'm sorry, everyone.
They know it.
That
is when you
I
became
was not
an adult.
An
when
adult.
You blew Steve the first time.
In the past.
Gosh, guys.
You hear that?
You're making me very uncomfortable. Do you guys know what turn means?
Nice try.
No, but I'm sure the kids at work
all do. Right, so Marissa, you were 18 when you blew Steve the first time? Or were you 17? When did you blow him the first time?
I've never met the love of my life. It's too bad. And he has no nice friends.
You turned 18 3 months into us dating.
Really?
Yeah.
Why are we...
So 17, you guys, were you became an
are
adult.
Are we seriously
probably.
Doing this?
Yeah.
I think this is inappropriate.
Okay, you wanna make the focus on me? Speaking
when
of...
When you blew Steve no. the first time.
No.
I also blew Marissa at 17.
Oh, wow.
To be fair.
Speaking of feminism. Like facing your own mortality.
Yeah.
Can
we talk about that more?
Yeah. I think about shooting myself in the head all the time.
Oh my god, this came up
all the time.
What?
Off microphone, Keith was talking about this.
I'm ready to talk
podcasted.
About it.
What about it? Like, if you would die immediately?
None of us in the room are licensed psychiatrists. Let me make that clear.
I want to make it clear
if anyone
that,
listening at home is.
I want to make it clear that I have no like desire to do it. It's just stuck in my head. Like one day I thought about
almost
what it
like
would,
a bullet.
What it would be like. And now like literally three times a day it just pops in and I'm like
three times a
at
day?
Least,
that's a
at
lot.
At least.
Are you on any medication?
No, I'm not going to shoot myself in
is
the
that,
head precisely because I think about
wait,
it all
so
the time.
So what is it you're thinking about?
Guys, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255.
For whatever reason, I don't know why. Like I just think of this revolver I don't have and then just blowing myself in the head. It's the side of the head. It's not the mouth.
It's not the mouth.
It's the side
careful.
Of the head.
Careful. If you sever your optic nerve, you're just blind and still alive.
But yeah, I don't know why, Marissa. I don't know why, but I feel like an adult when I think about it.
Trevor was saying this got dark.
We
I didn't
did
think
very...
it could get darker.
It's
but...
kind of like when you drive down the road and you're like, a couple of turns to the
I'm
right, and
about.
I could be right into that bridge.
Yeah.
See,
or
okay.
Like a semi is approaching, and we're each going 40, and I know just a slight, you know.
I always feel like I could live.
You're you can't. So dumb.
I feel there like are videos online that prove you
yeah,
can't.
Yeah, you are not an adult. If you think you could survive,
no, I have unrealistic.
We've already established
she's
get
there. Adult. They're not looking for life signs.
You guys know what else Marissa thinks she can do?
Is run like, as fast as Tom Brady.
We'll watch.
Kick a field goal.
Yeah, like oh, I could have hit that field goal. No, you couldn't. Stop saying it. You can't hit a field goal.
I actually
let
think
me
I
clarify
could.
For you one thing. Me and Stevie ran 40s. I think Keith might have been there. Were you there when we ran 40-yard dashes?
You guys are so fucking dumb.
Then we went online and we checked. Vince Wilfork runs a faster 40-yard dash time than any of us.
Of course
do.
He
they're
does.
They're elite athletes for a reason.
Yeah. I ran a 40 with Kelsey like 3 years ago. Embarrassingly slow. It might have been a 100-yard dash, but or 100-meter or whatever.
That's the straightaway on a track.
Yeah.
We the like, whole thing is 100.
We did it on the street, and we roughly did it out with...
You like, guys are shattering all my dreams. If I get into a car accident, I'm going to die, and I can't kick a field goal.
I mean, also, Marissa, we kicked field goals, and I cheated.
Can we talk about
I
this?
But I also remember that you didn't kick any field goals.
I didn't participate in
she
the
didn't.
First Man Games Challenge. I don't know why.
So I'm not wrong.
I
she didn't kick
I didn't,
any field
I didn't,
goals.
Right. I didn't dig holes. I didn't run...
Okay, so finger when gate. It hits spring, we're going to do this. We're going to go kick field goals, and then we're going to podcast.
I
want to
do like a bunch of athletic...
Man Games too.
You want to... Yeah.
Okay,
you
so
do
there's
like an
another
NFL
thing.
Combine?
The entrance exam to all the military academies. I want to see if we could get in.
Okay, Man Games 2, let's do it.
What is it? It's like a 15-minute mile and a half
it's
for
like
the Army.
It's like 20
which
minutes
is tough
total,
for me.
But it's like,
I know
it's
you guys
like throwing a basketball with one hand and
like 40
doing
yards.
Pull-ups. But
okay, we need to, yeah. I'm going to prep for this. Mm. I want to make it in.
I'm real into it.
Okay. I feel like we could do it.
Weber, when did you know you were an adult?
And that's why I brought it up, because I still have moments every day where I'm like, holy crap. I'm an adult.
Yeah.
And it's
is
not
it
the
when
big
you look
things.
At your daughter?
It's well, that's not even that. It wasn't like when I got married. It wasn't like
is
when
it
I have
the
a daughter.
Sweater
it's
you're like, wearing right now?
It might be the sweater
it's
I'm
a very
wearing.
Adult sweater.
It's not a sweater vest.
It's just like the small things in the day. Like I get to the end of the day and I realize like
when,
between going to work, running errands, cooking dinner, doing dishes, it's like 10 o'clock and I'm just like, I want 2 minutes of silence and to go to bed.
When were you first blown wearing that sweater?
This sweater?
Yeah.
I think the sweater's still a virgin.
I was going to say, there are no cum stains on it.
Yeah. Get
well,
the, get the
there's no black light up in here.
That's a guys. Sloppy blowjob if you have to
guys,
come on
I
his
really,
sweater.
I hate all
look,
of you.
I don't know
I am
the technique being used.
No comment.
I'm not participating anymore.
Look, we've all talked about blowing our heads, okay?
Literally,
some,
with a gun.
Some with guns.
Yeah, some with mouth.
Some with dicks.
So the last thing I wanted to just kind of discuss on this same
okay.
topic is,
you sure you don't want
this
to talk
might
about
be a little
jobs?
Personal, might get us in some trouble, but
oh, personal,
people
we haven't
we
done
know
anything
around
oh.
us who maybe at a certain age still aren't adults, and
Stevie.
Like I was thinking of that difference between like being an adult at 18 versus like being an adult,
yeah, yeah,
and what the events or the necessities are for you really to be considered an adult by other adults.
I think, you know, financial independence is the biggest one, right?
But that's so boring.
I know it is, but
like,
if mom and dad
you just put me to sleep.
Aren't paying for you and you're making it, whether it's scraping by or being successful, like you're an adult. You're that's what adults do. They support themselves.
What about eating vegetables? Is that a requirement?
Appreciating
I know plenty
foods
of adults
one.
Who do not eat vegetables.
Yeah, I know.
I know one. Stevie.
Hey.
I said this was going to get personal. What are the other things we can think of that like makes you an adult that like other adults all follow?
401ks.
Yeah, 401ks.
But that's money too. See, that's
here's
boring.
Resumes.
Here's a big one. When you wake up hungover and you were never drunk.
Oh,
the
I have,
previous night.
Ooh.
I have a thought.
Or when your hangover isn't quite like when you were younger, it like it doesn't hit you right away, but it builds throughout the day.
Interesting.
And suddenly
it still
at noon, it's worse than like 10 o'clock.
When
what about having career goals for yourself? Like actually taking a step back and being like,
feeling
what
bad
do I, what
about
what do I
yourself.
Want to do with my career?
I think feeling a like good...
my professional development goals.
I think the more your meals from previous days impact the day after, the closer you are to being an adult.
You mean leftovers?
No, what I mean is like if you eat like McDonald's and then the next day you're like, I wish I didn't eat McDonald's. You're
Keith,
an adult.
You've been an adult for so
long.
That's
just your digestive system aging.
No, but like as a kid, I feel like you can eat anything. Like you can just eat candy.
Soda.
Now I eat like two pieces of candy. I'm like, I want to fucking kill myself.
Like two double stuffed Oreos, like go blind.
How can you stop at just two? How can you stop at just two?
I recently threw up.
That might just be diabetes.
I recently threw up after eating gummy savers that I got for Christmas.
Oh.
Never gonna eat gummy savers again.
What's a gummy saver?
It's like a gummy lifesaver.
That's delicious. I used to get the
very
sour
delicious
ones.
Very, but. You know, I'm an adult now, Marissa.
What about dinner parties?
Now, I like dinner
do you want to have one?
I like them, but like to me, that's not a thing adults do. It's a thing kids do to feel like adults.
Yeah, like Friendsgiving.
Yeah, come on.
What as an that? Adult, you don't do anything because you have children.
Right.
That side of the table is looking a little judgy right now.
On the same note, eating dinner at the dinner table. How often do we do that?
Ooh, us?
Does like rarely. Not in front of the TV count?
Not in front of the TV, yeah. Just
we
dinner
eat
table?
At our, the we kitchen our island.
Like we eat there a lot.
No, I said dinner table.
Mostly, so like I've got a table runner and I never want to get it dirty.
Yeah.
I feel like that's
an adult
reason
adult.
Not
that's
to
totally.
Want to eat.
Yeah, you literally have
table.
Like, you have two tables right next to each other, both just asking to have people eat dinner at them. And you use the island. Mm. Such
because
an adult decision.
It is. It
really
is.
I don't want to get my cloth napkins dirty. I have like three sets of cloth napkins.
Final
napkins
thoughts
are the easiest
here.
Thing to wash.
Final thoughts here on adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone?
I think there's no set answer on when you become an adult.
No, legally it's 18.
Can you be an adult
like,
if
I don't
you're still
feel,
a virgin?
I don't feel like, are we percent adults? What percent adult do you guys think you are? Because I'm not there yet. I feel
okay.
like I'm not at 100.
I want to assign everyone a percentage.
Okay. This
Marissa,
is better. This is better.
No, I'm going to start with Weber.
Can I self-assign?
No, I'm going to start with me. I'm 51% adult.
Wow. More there than not. What was that threshold? What moment was when you were like... More than
when he puked
there.
After the gummy
no,
savers.
No, when I when I refinanced my house.
Okay.
But I thought that went from 0 to 51.
No, I mean
he's rounding down from 48 to
Weber,
zero.
I'm gonna put you 67%.
67, I'll take it.
Steve, I'm gonna put you at 64%.
Wow, that's a lot of credit.
Marissa, I'm gonna
Steve,
put you
no
at 92%.
I feel
oh, I definitely
very
put
high.
Marissa higher than me.
Yeah, no, I feel like Marissa
I'm like very
is,
boring.
Like, Marissa prevents me from being more of an adult by just doing it.
I'm an enabler.
Yeah, I would put Danielle very much higher than me, too, because...
She's had a baby.
Men, am I right?
Yeah, you right, women guys? Enable us to be, you know...
Weber doesn't even know what his mortgage rate is.
But here's the thing.
But I do dishes and laundry.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is
you are very adulty.
Was there ever a point in your life where you didn't think your parents were 100% adults?
Now.
No.
Right now.
Right now? Okay.
Like, as I become more of an adult, I realize that growing up, my parents
so
were less
retrospect,
adult than I thought.
So I agree with that. But, like, at any point in your life, did you view the present parents you had as not adults?
No, and my mom was 20 when she
right.
when she had
that's what I mean. Like
so like at 5 years old when you're pretty cognizant of what's going on around you, she's only 25, which is
crazy.
5 years younger than
she
Stevie.
Had three boys. Yeah.
Yeah, no, my parents, the more I do as an adult, the more I'm like, wow, you are the most adult people I ever knew and still are. Great examples to me. They just show me what I'm doing wrong forever and ever because I'm not as good at
you're not worthy.
Adulting as they are.
I don't know. My parents had a waterbed. I feel like that was a dumb
Well, my parents were really fucking dumb to get married after only knowing each other for 6 months. Really dumb having three kids within like 2.5 years of each other.
They're still going strong.
Yeah, they're doing all right.
No, yeah, because my... I don't know. I'm very impressed, but... They made bad decisions early on. Steve, what's your subject?
I've been working on a little half-baked idea here for, you know, young adult novels.
Is it a limerick?
No.
Steve, I can't say that I have liked any subject on this podcast any more than this one.
Is it, well, just wait, is it fan fiction?
It's not really fan fiction. It's just fiction.
Okay.
Steve, are you ever going to write one of these, like, for real?
We'll see. Let me pitch this to you guys. You tell me at the end whether or not that's something I should get to work on. Quit my day job. You know, maybe that's a real adult move. Like, you know what? I'm unsatisfied in my career.
It's
I'm going to write.
No.
You got a mortgage, Steve.
No. I'm trapped.
Yeah, Marissa trapped the shit out of you.
Mortgage and a marriage.
Tranny trick.
Is that like turnt? All right. Trapped?
I don't know, Marissa. So, I'm not the adult here.
I was raised Catholic.
Obviously.
I like where this is going.
I'm a bit of a lapsed Catholic now. Weber, you also raised Catholic, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And I was thinking about purgatory the other day.
All
right.
Are we all just thinking about death?
Yeah. That's being an adult.
That's once you start thinking about your own mortality.
So get
boom.
This. Let me lay the groundwork for let me do some world building here. All right. The afterlife in Catholic doctrine, it's eternal, right? There's no limit. It's infinite. It's just billions and trillions and zillions of years. And that's just the beginning because it's just endless. All right. So if you go to heaven now, you're just there forever. In like any time scale, any possible eternity you can think of is just not even a fraction of the time you spend in the afterlife. So anyway, compared to an infinite amount of time, like how old is Catholic heaven, right? I did the math. It's 2017, right? Heaven starts in the year 33 when Jesus dies. 1984, 1984 years. That's not a lot of time. And what I'm getting at here is only the best of the best go straight to heaven, right?
Okay.
Everyone else
is in purgatory.
Goes to purgatory or hell, but like, you know, the worst of the worst go
in
there.
In your book.
You know, the book.
In the good
Bible.
Book.
Yeah, the holy book. I don't know, Marissa. I did some research here.
I didn't know this.
Yeah. So, and the worse you were.
You're such a heathen.
The longer you spend in purgatory, because purgatory comes from they purge you of your sin. Right?
Is that true? Because I think there was a period of time where you could just spend a whole boatload of money on an indulgence and skip a lot of that.
That is, you know,
I'm
retconning that world building aspect. I don't know if those popes were being fully honest or if they just wanted to.
What happens on
the
earth
masses out of some
happens
coin.
In heaven. If the pope said it's so, it's so.
Well, some popes' infallibilities have been questioned.
So far, I'm not buying your book.
Okay.
Well, he's building a world.
Building a world, Marissa. I'm reminding you.
I know.
I've got some of this written down. So, like, right now, heaven, I think it's very sparsely populated. Like, you got Jesus there. All right, right?
Mormon.
You got most of the other Bible characters. They're up there. Right? And anyone who is 100% pure in life, just the saintliest person, I think, is up there. But, like, 99% of people who've ever lived, at least, like, they're still in purgatory.
They're in purgatory.
They're in purgatory or hell. But like, let's say purgatory. All right. So one day the world's going to end.
Yes.
The meteor's going to hit. Trump's going to tweet something dumb. Whatever. The world's going to end. Everyone is going to die. There's going to be no more people. So at that point, the influx to heaven, to purgatory, it's all closed, right? We have a fixed population. And I think at that point, whoever's in heaven is just going to be like, okay, this is it. This is heaven. Let's get to know each other. They're going to go around talking to each other. Getting to know each other. Billions of years go by, right? Zillions.
Okay.
Again, just a time you cannot fathom. And everyone in heaven knows each other so perfectly. They've achieved like this heaven culture that is so monocultural and very specific and flat and whatever. And then here's where my book starts. One day.
It took a while to get there.
I had to world build. Not everyone subscribes to Catholic doctrine. Who arrives in heaven one day? The first guy from purgatory. He's finally purged. He gets there. Book one is called Purged.
That doesn't
I'm
have
in.
A nice ring to
all right,
it.
So
all right, let's go back to the beginning. Because there's one thing I'm not clear on.
Yeah.
You said this was aimed at young adults.
Well, so let me spell it out for you.
This is sounding very adult.
No, it's going to be very young adult. So,
well, because the first guy, he's like he's a guy who got into a little bit of trouble. He's the bad guy.
But
now all the girls want him.
And you're capturing some nuance here, Keith. He when he was in purgatory, was literally the best guy there. The most perfect guy in purgatory. But he gets to heaven, and what is he? He's the worst person in heaven.
So girls fucking love him.
And
oh, he's the bad boy.
He's a heaven immigrant. He's the new guy at school, is where the young adult comes
in. Do you look the same once you leave, once you die?
This is a good question for your local chaplain.
You might want to be able to answer this, you know, in your book.
Listen, like, this is a half-baked idea.
Like, is my purgatory guy very old?
What is the time period between the first guy in heaven and then the second guy in heaven?
Hang on. Okay. Hang on, because I like the way you're thinking. This guy, he just takes a beating, right? And the story's told from his perspective.
No, like a sexual beating? All the people in heaven are super holy.
Like
and perfect,
a sexual
so they're
beating?
They're going to be super welcoming of him.
No, I think he's saying his dick's getting beat.
They're already in heaven. They have no reason to keep being nice.
Yes, they do. They're just generally nice
people. They've been hanging
out
for billions of years.
This
they all know
flawed.
Each other perfectly.
They're bored.
So how long have we known each other? And how well do we know
Can't
each other?
Can't you be a fallen angel?
He literally told you
to
11 years.
You know, he sees your marriage as heaven and he can be the person he wants to be, and that person is someone who says fuck off,
you know,
to his wife.
Do you guys remember when that happened?
I
Not
do.
15 minutes ago.
Doesn't faze me.
So heaven loses their shit, you guys.
Okay, heaven loses their shit.
When the new guy comes.
Yeah, he's literally the worst person in
heaven.
It's
a man, not a woman.
We'll call it a man.
Okay, fine.
They treat him like a second-class citizen.
Adam.
Gender doesn't matter in heaven.
Heaven's probably
full
of women.
Post-gender.
Oh, his name has to be Adam.
The first man.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
It has to be
I like
be
this.
Adam.
I like this. You're in this idyllic, perfect community, right?
The second guy is Steve.
That's good, too.
Hi, Steve.
And like the worst person on earth shows up. You're in this literally a gated community with just the best people in the world.
Oh, no.
And this fucking new guy comes in.
Oh, no.
And he's done something wrong. And you don't know what, right?
So they're going to treat him like shit.
They treat him like such shit. This kicks off book one in my trilogy. Purged, the story of the best man on earth not to get into heaven, who gets there only to become the least trusted, least popular guy in heaven. Like, even his friends and family members from way back who are in heaven, they knew him for 70 years on earth. They've been up there billions of infinity
years. This is
years.
Fucking brilliant.
Like, thank you.
Brilliant.
Thank you.
I hope the words billions of infinity years show up in your book so a publisher can dump on it.
Steve, you have to write this.
The people
at the rate he's explaining it, the book is going to be 2,000 pages long.
He's the next George
R.R. Martin. Children's
books
or young adult books need to be very succinct and have very clean cut.
Oh, I'm sorry, Weber. Have you written a fucking book?
Very specific themes, all right? And the theme in this one is alienation, right? He's been purged. He goes from being the best guy. He's the hero of where he came from, and he is the worst when he goes... I'm putting this in air quotes, north of the border, right?
All
right. He gets over the wall.
So let's jump ahead. How does this young man, I don't know how old he is, he's billions of years old.
Yeah.
How does he get from conflict to redemption?
Well, there's a heaven prom.
I like the idea of a heaven prom. But where I took this was book two is called The Second Coming.
Oh, he's going to come.
What do you think happens?
He's
I
Jesus.
Knew Keith was going to make
it
that
was all a
Steve
trick.
Comes here. No, Steve
a second
comes
person
in.
Comes to heaven.
Yeah,
the
Steve.
Hell
the
happens
second
in the first
person
book.
Gets to heaven.
What was the plot of book one? I'm unclear.
What time is between these two books?
Martyrdom. It doesn't. Time is a false
George
concept
R. Martin
in heaven.
Time or
it's billions of infinities. It's just
so there are billions of infinities where he's
the
asshole. The
closest.
And then another asshole
Look,
comes in.
He's going to draw no.
the second best person in purgatory.
Is this a woman?
It can be.
Weber,
yeah.
have you read Slaughterhouse-Five?
Yes.
It's like that.
Okay, there you go.
So they're looking in four dimensions? They're the Trafalmadorians?
Look, this is Keith's interpretation of my book.
And you know,
it's
while you're at it, draw assholes on a couple
I will draw
pages.
Assholes.
This is sounding a lot more like our Harry Potter American Revolution crossover.
Which we have to finish.
So it's like act two of the first book. The guy gets so fed up that he's like, I don't want to be a good person anymore and starts causing chaos.
He wants to get to hell.
Listen, he starts drawing penises.
He's trying to get to hell
graffiti.
Now because he doesn't like it.
He doesn't. He buys into it. He has a victim complex. He acknowledges he's the worst person in heaven. And that makes him just feel awful. And it's a book for kids, you know, when they feel like they don't belong.
And then really, Heaven gets social media, and then everyone shames each other.
So what happens when the second guy gets to heaven?
They fuck.
No. Blow job city, bitch.
This is the cycle of violence. This is an anti-bullying theme.
Oh, shit.
That was clear to me.
Does this guy get hazed by guy number one?
Yes.
What an ass.
He hates the new guy or girl so much.
Who's the hero here?
Well, so the second book is told from the new person's perspective.
You would think logically the first guy would want to be friends with the second guy.
You'd think that, but no. He's bought in so much that the pergies, as they're called, that's like a slur up there.
Can we call them pierogies?
The pierogies. Like, get out of here, you fucking pierogi. He's, you know, he has learned to hate all pierogies, himself included.
That sounds more like an Italian slur.
Kind of, but, you know.
Now I just want pierogies.
I'm desperate for you to write this book, Steve.
So, you know, classic bully becomes the bullied.
Yes.
Bullied becomes the bullied. It's a perpetuating cycle.
There are lessons to be learned here.
Absolutely, Keith.
There are analogs in society today.
This is a book for teens, and I think this
tweens,
no stronger
maybe.
Time. Yes.
So
than
is
now.
This like
what reading level will this book be written at?
I don't know what reading level I can write at. So.
What's the title of your Hogwarts?
Ooh, well, it's Heaven.
I know. Isn't there school in Heaven? There's a prom. How is there not a school?
I don't know. This is, you know, well, it's only half-baked, guys. We can brainstorm these later.
Yeah, this is definitely something that we need to come back to.
So,
yeah, for
so
sure.
On. This is only book two.
of how many?
Well, it's a trilogy. It's only a trilogy.
Can we separate the last book into two movies?
Yes. When that time comes, yeah. We'll okay.
Who do you
make
want
two
to
movies?
Make these movies? Who's going to play Adam?
I don't know yet.
All right,
know.
Tell me the third
don't
book.
Don't pick Chris
so, the third book, I think, is the most mature of the themes.
What's it
really
called?
When it all comes together. The third book is called Come On Up to the House.
Oh, that's too long of a title.
It doesn't matter.
Revise.
I kind of want it to be Come On Eileen, and then Eileen is the third person.
So here's the thing, right? The second guy has gotten there, and you're seeing this cycle. Then what happens? Remember.
The Titans.
The timeline is infinite. Purgatory had 99 times as many people as Heaven. So book three takes place over billions of billions of billions of infinities. And
yikes.
What slowly starts to happen is Heaven gets overrun by pierogies. They just start popping out of the woodwork.
Are there any mudbloods? Can you reproduce in Heaven?
I haven't figured out the physics of it, but...
I feel like the Catholic Church is going to have a problem with this series.
It doesn't matter.
Guess what? We're in Trump's America now.
So in this epic conclusion, Come On Up to the House, Heaven is rapidly expanding in population. Rapidly is a relative term, like maybe once every few thousand years someone new shows up.
Now, I want to clarify one thing. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, yeah.
Are all the pierogies there in this last book? The last one comes in.
Well, no. The
worst pierogi.
The worst pierogi.
The guy who barely dodged hell.
Yeah, I like this.
So hang on. I'll get there. Book three is mostly just about, this is told from the perspective, I haven't figured this out yet, maybe of Jesus.
Yeah, probably
maybe of
Jesus.
Saint Peter, like the original heaven guy, who like, you know, even before the world
ended.
So is
he still at the gates?
Well, the gates are closed because no one else is coming in. It's just, I don't know the transportation yet to get from purgatory to heaven, but like when it's your time, when you've been purged, you go to heaven.
It's not a stairway?
Well, it's not closed because new people can die, right?
No. This takes place after the heat death of the universe.
Okay, so
there's no one else. We have a zero sum.
So what if Trump gets elected president and then wants to deport people to hell?
Like president of heaven?
Yeah.
They don't have a constitution set up like that.
Okay, well, what if he signs an executive order?
I don't know. Again, half-baked. This is a half-baked, not fully formed idea. This is a shell of a trilogy. So hang on. So St. Peter, and he's old and wise, right? He's seen...
He's billions of years old.
You know, purgatory culture is overrunning heaven culture.
Yeah, of course.
At this point. And he is so upset. Not St. Peter, but the original heavens, the heavies, we'll call them.
Yeah, of course.
Heavies?
The heavies.
Now it sounds like we're fat-shaming people.
And the heavies.
There's no weight in heaven. And no one has mass. They're just light and ideas.
Wait, they don't have mass in heaven? Why do we have mass on Earth then?
It's a constant. Everything has mass.
No, like
it's a constant,
like a Catholic mass.
Yeah.
Yes,
it's a permanent mass. It's a permanent state of body of Christ.
I thought your soul has a mass. Isn't this like known Catholic doctrine?
Like 21
so
grams. That was a debunked theory. They made a movie out of it. with Sean Penn.
Also 7 pounds.
Yeah, but that's science, and science doesn't exist anymore.
So this is this book is a culture clash.
Fact, Weber.
Book 3, which is the longest of the books, you know, deals with just this ongoing strife in heaven as just the new guys keep popping over the wall. And keep in mind, the area of heaven's not expanding. Everyone's gotten used to a certain amount of elbow room.
Wait, why is the area not expanding?
Because it's fixed. It's constant.
Well, it is.
This is ultimately a story about overpopulation.
But the universe is expanding.
Yeah, but this is a post-universe. Again, we're talking post-universe. Billions of infinities.
Wait. We found nuclear weapons so strong that we got rid of the universe?
Yeah, no. The heat death of the universe is
happening. Weber, you're too close to your mic.
Every atom no longer exists. They've all unraveled and fallen apart.
Again, I thought they just.
I'm not clear on the physics of this, but we'll research it heavily before we cast the movie.
Infinitely dense again until they big banged again.
So you buy into like the cycle, like
I don't buy into anything.
Collapse.
I'm just, you know,
okay,
Steve.
Playing devil's
advocate worth exploring.
Steve, can I give you some advice?
Please
make sure that you don't forget about the little people when you're making billions of dollars.
You guys can all be in the movie.
Because this
bit
is
roles.
The all fucking best idea I've ever heard.
All I want is a signed copy of the rejection letter from your publisher.
The good thing for you listeners is this was last. So you probably only heard about book one. Maybe
hey,
half of book
Steve,
one.
What?
Can in your little foreword, can you...
Keys the only one.
Yeah,
that
can you mention me? Because Marissa's not very supportive.
I definitely will. She's
I
not,
liked
she's
his
not
fan fiction a lot better.
Marissa's so
like
such a bitch.
I'm
right
definitely
now.
A pierogi on the lower half of the
end
pierogis.
Of the book is when they realize that like this culture clash doesn't need to exist because these original heavies.
I thought it was a literal population clash. I thought there was too many.
Well, it's
people.
A lot of themes. It plays into all the fears of immigration that people have.
This is getting very complex for a young adult series.
Again, heaven now is just, it's basically new purgatory, and that's the realization they end on.
Do they, is there a next level heaven?
The book ends with someone trying to decide, maybe St. Peter
himself.
Maybe
it's hell.
The ending?
Maybe trying to carve out.
Maybe it's hell.
Maybe he wants to go back to purgatory because it's empty now.
Or maybe hell is the new heaven.
Could be. Could be.
Yeah.
So, I know
They realize it's just no fun up there. And they're
what's
like,
the name
screw.
In the series?
Your minds are blown, I know.
What's the name in the series?
We've talked about blowing a lot.
Working title, just, you know, Purged. And then
I thought that was book one.
That is book one. And then the Second Coming's
no, I know.
Full
I
title
know
is
what the, name
is. The Second Coming, colon, a Purged sequel or whatever. A Purged
it
saga.
Works like Twilight.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the Twilight Saga, and
colon,
the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? The first one was called Twilight,
but
right?
Hang on.
Wait, you're taking ideas from Twilight now?
All the young
didn't
adult
didn't you write a fan fiction?
Of Twilight?
Mm-hmm.
I did. That's,
I like
shelve that.
Better.
We'll talk about that another time.
Okay.
Spinoff potential, guys.
Yeah.
Because once you make the trilogy
fantastic.
And build the world.
We have the horse directly in front of the car now.
Obviously, this is going to make it real big.
Well... Yeah, you're more whoever wrote Hunger Games, and you're less J.K. Rowling.
There you go.
Susan Collins.
Spinoff is a collection of short stories told from the perspective of the pierogies before they get to heaven. Because we haven't explored purgatory
like backstories
at all.
A little bit, too.
Yeah, and just like what's going on down there. So I've got a few ideas. And you know, you guys maybe can pitch some of your own once you hear some of mine.
I'm a little curious about this prequel, you know, if we're going to get into it. Sorry.
It's more like a sidequel, like an interquel.
It's so like are Rogue you One.
Explore,
it's like Rogue One.
Are you going to
yeah.
explore?
Purge story.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you going to explore the opposite kind of idea of like, so that first guy enters heaven, right? And he's the worst guy there. But like, as the flow goes the other way, suddenly in this like other side story, purgatory must be getting worse by the day.
Worse and smaller. And like it's shrinking in population.
So people must be like really excited to get out of there.
Yeah. So here's one. I'm just spitballing here, right? This one's called The Afterwife. And it's the story of a man
I love it already.
Who finds a perfect soulmate in purgatory. Spends billions of years with her. And then one day she's just gone. She popped into heaven. And he has to cope with that. And that's that short story. It's like he lost his wife on Earth. Finally found the love of a lifetime in purgatory, and she's gone.
Is this going to get a physical release, or is this just a Kindle short story?
We'll see. I'm okay. assuming physical, hardcover, limited edition, you know, yeah. proceeds to charity for the first 100 copies, whatever. There's a short story I've called Suddenly I See. It's the story of a blind woman who, upon arriving in purgatory, has perfect vision.
Okay.
Like, maybe you can have some fun with that, you know?
And then maybe when she, if she gets to heaven, then she'll lose her vision again.
Maybe. Or maybe she doesn't care. Maybe this is, like, heaven enough for her, you know? There's one called Heaven Can Wait. The story of someone who is so sure they were heaven bound and they're despondent to learn otherwise. Like, they thought they lived a saintly life and then they wake up after dying and they're in purgatory and they have to, it's a self-acceptance story. They have to learn to live with that. We've got, I Need a Doctor. The story of a woman who, following a fatal car crash, wakes up in purgatory and cannot find her husband.
You're killing me right now.
Get this. This is why it's called I Need a Doctor. Her husband, who was alongside her in the car accident.
He went to hell.
He was an abortion doctor.
Oh, no.
So she's panicking. She's looking everywhere for him. She can't find him.
Because he's in hell.
She doesn't know. Did he also die and go to hell? Or did he survive the accident?
And
he's still on earth, okay, and she'll see him again. And, you know, imagine the panic.
And maybe he's a time traveler and he aborts them both.
It's a missing person thriller.
You should
make
one of these a pierogi recipe book. Like one...
I don't think you understand.
That's a spin-off. Sure. No, there's a lot of potential there. Like,
the best cookbook,
pierogies
the
with
best
pierogies.
Cookbooks have stories. So one of your pergies can be telling you about
cooking pierogies with your pergies. Steve,
I got one more. And this is the final, this closes out the short story collection.
Okay.
It's called Alone Again.
Oh, no.
Aww.
And
sounds like you're going to be alone again soon, Steve.
This one, you know, it's not necessarily, it might be. Marissa's not thrilled. This one.
Well, she's hacking up her skirt. She's getting fucking life insurance policy out of you. Now she's judging the fuck out of you.
I'll see you in purgatory, Marissa.
No, anyway, she's going to hell.
Alone Again.
Alone Again.
It's the story about... Now, I know I said, and I still haven't decided yet, right? Is obviously the best person in purgatory goes to heaven first. But maybe at a certain threshold, it's not like the worst person stays till the end. Maybe it's just in the order you died, right?
Yep.
There's just a queue, and it's like at a certain point, they don't care anymore.
First in, first out.
Yeah, kind
of. Did they sound like FIFO. The type of people who don't care anymore somehow along the lines?
So this is called Alone Again. This is the last human being to ever die. He was some astronaut explorer 20,000 years in the future, whenever humanity ends, right? So when the sun exploded, he died last because he was out at the fringes of the galaxy. But that means he also is the last man in purgatory. Once everyone else is gone, and you know, it's just a little self reflection going on. He's remembering it's sort of told in parallel. You don't know how he died at first, but as he's the last man in purgatory, you know, it cuts back and forth from him witnessing and seeing the sun explode, however far away, and like he realizes before it gets to him, he's the last person to ever die.
That's a real depressing note to end on.
I know. I think it's beautiful,
Steve,
in a way.
Please write Purged. Okay. Please. For me.
At least number one.
Marissa doesn't want you to write it.
I'll get a skeleton going. I'll get an outline.
You should.
I'll get a draft.
Do
you guys have any...
Weber will edit
any ideas for these books?
I definitely think you need to allude to sexual intercourse.
Okay.
If you want to get the younger teen... young adult
You're
people
right.
interested.
You're right.
But talk a lot about sweating, but not necessarily penetration.
Like breathing and sweating?
Well, like,
yeah, like heavy
you have
breathing.
To have a love story.
Yeah, and like it would be really cool if there were two people who were in love, but they just were never in the same place at the same time. Like they only overlap by a little bit, you know?
We only miss each other by 1,000 years, which is a blink of an eye.
And then maybe they'll have like a mailbox where they can pass letters to each other.
Oh, I see.
Ooh, I see
where this is going.
I've seen this story before.
No, I think there are legs here. You just have to be careful to not alienate everyone.
Okay. That'll be tough. That'll be tough.
You'll have to throw in some thinly veiled sports references.
Probably
for the guys,
for the young men,
probably a vampire.
Yeah, like where do vampires go?
I don't know if they exist in the Purgiverse.
The Purgiverse. Yeah, of course.
The world we've built here.
Do vampires and the Catholic Church go together? I don't know.
The Pierogiverse.
Angels certainly do.
Pierogiverse.
The Pierogiverse.
Pierogiverse.
No, I don't like pierogies is a slur in this novel. It's not.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. It would be like
they wouldn't.
I didn't know
me.
I was being.
Yeah, like
they kind of take the word back in book three. Yeah, exactly.
Shit! Don't say that, Keith.
I'm sorry.
Who's gonna be your Voldemort?
See,
is it God?
It has to be somebody.
No, I don't
important.
Think Satan.
I don't
is
think
Satan
God's
gonna
a
have a presence.
I want to leave this open
yeah,
to
you
a
get
second trilogy
can you go
about
down
hell?
To hell. You know,
from purgatory, I don't think so. Oh, I think the logic in the Catholic Church is once you've reached purgatory, like you're gonna be in heaven one day.
Well,
you just gotta get rid of.
Maybe
all
there's someone right who has realized this and likes purgatory and just does really bad shit the whole time to
okay.
stay there
to rack up years on his sentence.
Yeah, I think you should explore. Or someone who's trying to game the system by
that's
doing
a good idea.
Really good stuff or really bad stuff. But
it's pretty good.
Don't go with Sony for the movie rights.
Okay.
Sony tends to fuck up movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is okay.
I think you
make
can trust-
sure when you make the deal too that they agree to the full series and we don't get like one teaser movie. Like,
yeah.
I want them
yeah,
all or nothing.
Probably
like, we need
want
all
the
50 Shades of Grey movies, no matter how bad the first one sucks.
Because you don't want, like, the vision to be changed in the middle and to have some awkward falling out with Stephanie Myers.
What,
you know, I don't know.
What are the movies going to be rated?
I think the first one's a hard R.
It is? It
just,
you
know.
Wait, excuse me. So you have a young adult novel that is a hard R.
Yeah, the current young adult will be 17 by the time the movie comes out.
About Catholicism.
When you see the Red Band trailer, what is going to be under that R? Like, it's going to say rated R for like...
graphic violence, like mind-blowing themes.
What about nudity? Is there nudity?
Yeah,
there?
Like why wear clothes in heaven? Everyone's naked.
Have you thought about your leading man?
No, not yet.
Not at all.
How descriptive are you going to be about their body parts?
Well, hang on. Is this the call sheet or am I writing the?
No, when you're writing the novel.
Hmm.
Like, is anything going to be throbbing?
Yeah, their souls.
Their souls.
Throbbing souls.
Can that be another short story?
Yeah, sure.
And
I want to open this up to all the fans, too. Like, you know, submit your own short stories.
You should use Reddit.
Yeah, they'd probably have fun with this.
I feel like we have four very distinct podcasts within this one podcast.
Mine didn't matter at all, the rest of the topics. Steven Weber, you guys really brought us to a new level with your...
just talking about death.
I'm still very confused about your target audience. Here's what I have pictured. What can I share this with you?
Go on.
I have pictured is Catholic school children
who children
don't want to be there, but who also have a deep knowledge of Catholic doctrine.
That is true.
So like CCD?
Yeah.
This is very like very specific subset of our population.
Look, I want Jewish girls and boys to feel comfortable reading my book. I want the atheist girls and boys to feel comfortable. The Muslim girls and boys. All creeds, you know, all races, all types. I want the moms and the dads and the grandmas to feel comfortable reading these books. I want these books to challenge people's notion of eternal life and what that is.
Steve, you know what I want? I want you to write the first chapter, and I want you to come back on this podcast and just read it to us.
All right. That's going to be hard.
I support
that. All right.
Maybe we'll read it together and we'll all have separate parts.
If I can find it, we should read
your fan fiction.
Weber and Sweeney and whoever else and I wrote the Harry Potter and the Founding Fathers Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, that was a thing.
That's a good...
No, Steve.
All right.
Write this first chapter.
Okay.
And we're going to do a radio play of it.
Okay. Maybe it's like the second chapter, and because the first chapter is going to have a
lot of
backstory.
Maybe the first and the second. Maybe you know. Both. Write them, Steve.
I just want to jump into a scene in the middle of
that. Okay, that's fine. You choose. You're the author.
Okay.
You're the talent. right?
Yeah,
you know,
that's what I've been saying.
I don't want
years.
You to forget that you are the talent here, Steve.
Okay.
Your dreams are second to no one's.
Ooh.
Marissa might say that you need to keep your job, but I say no. You need to keep your spirit.
Thank you. I'm going to take this to heart.
Do it, Steve.
No comment.
Don't live in purgatory.
Damn it, you're
Get
right.
to heaven.
Yes.
The Purgies.
I'm going to end the podcast right there. What
Bye.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I think this is solid. It's poignant. We're all thinking Weber's texting.
Go to heaven.